We know that there are some scripture passages that are hard to understand or take a little work to interpret. But most of the letter of James is not like that. Most of what James says is pretty clear, straightforward. For example, in today's reading, when he says, "What good is it to find a man who is without anything to wear and has no food? What good is it to say, keep warm and well fed? It's no good." I think that should be obvious to everybody. It doesn't need explanation. In other words, there's more to the life of faith than simply saying good words. What probably does take a little explanation is how James' teaching can be held alongside St. Paul's teaching, because St. Paul very clearly says that faith is all you need for salvation. And James says, faith without works is dead. So it strikes people as being a contradiction. So let me try to make a brief explanation of this. It's not as much of a contradiction as people sometimes think. When St. Paul talks about faith and works, he's typically talking about works in the sense of the requirements of the Jewish law. So dietary rules and cleansing rituals and circumcision and these things. And Paul is very clear that those things are not required for salvation. Those were part of the preparation for the coming of the Messiah, but now that Jesus Christ is here and has fulfilled all these requirements, we don't need all those. So that's clear. Faith is what we need. Faith is what justifies us. That's what St. Paul teaches, that's what the church teaches, that's what James teaches too. So why does James say faith without works is dead? James is not talking about the works of the law, of the old law. He's not saying your faith is dead if you don't get circumcised, or your faith is dead if you don't wash your hands properly. That's not the kind, he's talking about a slightly different, he's using a different definition of works. He's talking about the good deeds that flow naturally from a faith that is alive. See the difference? He's not talking about not eating pork. He's talking about seeing someone who has no food and giving him food. If you don't do that, well, then there's something missing. Even if you say Jesus is Lord, the expression of faith. It's possible, James makes it clear, it's possible to have what looks like faith, but is not, or is dead faith. It's like, just to use an example, let's say you have a mango tree. If you have a mango tree that never produces any mangoes, a person might say, well, is that really a mango tree? And you would say, well, yes, it's really a mango tree. And they say, well, it must be a dead tree because it doesn't produce the fruit that naturally comes from the tree. Well, that's something like James is saying about faith. If we have faith, it just naturally takes on the expression of love for neighbor. And if it doesn't do that, then there's something wrong. It might be dead faith. And he says it twice, faith without works is dead. And his example is very clear. Let's with this understanding that faith must be expressed, we can turn to the gospel. You see, let me just clarify this statement that James says when he was talking about Abraham. He says Abraham is the model of faith in the Old Testament. Remember, he's our father in faith, so Abraham is the example. And James says, you see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by the works. So Abraham did not simply put his trust in the Lord. He put his trust in the Lord, and he acted on that trust. So it's not one or the other. It's not one has faith and the other has works. No. if you have works that flow from faith, you have both. If you have only works with no faith, you don't have anything. And if you have only faith that doesn't produce any fruit, you don't have anything. So it's an all or nothing proposition. Now, Jesus here, speaking about the requirements of discipleship, says, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So Jesus does not say, all you have to do is say that I am Lord. He says, if you believe that I am Lord, you have to follow me. That's the works that go, that flow naturally from faith. Of course, the works, or the work, is the work of Jesus himself, the work of redeeming the whole human race. We could say the central work of Jesus is his gift of himself on the cross, his death and resurrection. That's the work. So when he says, if you want to follow me, he's saying, come and join in this work that I'm doing. Every good work is in some way a participation in the good work of Jesus Christ. Well, this makes us wonder, because when we look at the cross, this central work, it looks at first like it's not doing anybody any good. It doesn't look like a work. It looks like a waste. First of all, to Jesus himself. I mean, what did he get out of it? So this is where faith challenges us to look beyond the surface and to understand works can mean something that looks like a waste. It can look like we're not doing anything. So we're not talking about works, only the works of giving food to the hungry. That's good corporal work of mercy. But there's more to it than simply the obvious, fulfilling the obvious needs of people. There is the work of sacrifice, which maybe no one would notice, and yet has a powerful fruit, a powerful effect in the world. And this is what Jesus teaches us by the cross, the work of sacrifice. See, when we look at Jesus and we see, well, yeah, he did a lot of works. He fed people, he healed people, he raised people from the dead. Great, he did a lot of great works. But that was not the main work. The main work was making a sacrifice of himself for us. We would think, and the world would say, well, the most important work you can do is establish peace in the world and heal everyone and feed everyone. And that is all very good work. Yes, but that's not the most important thing, because we're made for more than having a peaceful, contented life in this world. We're made for eternal life. And in order to have eternal life, we need something greater than any work that we do can accomplish. So the work is not to gain the whole world, because Jesus says, what happens if you gain the whole world and you lose your life? Well, then you're not gaining anything. What happens if you do all sorts of good things, but you don't gain, but you lose yourself in the process? That's not a good thing. So we ponder here the cross, and perhaps this is a good topic for Friday, and Friday is when we focus on the cross of Christ, and we honor the cross. We learn that the good work of sacrifice bears good fruit. We can't always see it. When Jesus dies on the cross, it looks like fruitless, looks like a waste. It doesn't do him any good, it doesn't do anybody else any good. He dies. Only on the third day do we learn, not only was it good, but it was the greatest good, because he conquered the worst evil. When we participate in sacrifice, and when we sacrifice, we're doing something that goes beyond what looks like good works to the world, but even what looks good to us. We're uniting ourselves with Jesus Christ and the good work of the cross. So that's what I think we can take from these two readings put together. Yes, faith without works is dead. Yes, if our faith is alive, we will do good works, and there's plenty of them. You think of all the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. But the central work is the work of Jesus Christ, and our great responsibility as people of faith is to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him.